At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's Upwork.com. Upwork.com.
Welcome back to Redacted, everybody. Welcome back to Redacted. Clayton, let's hear it for Clayton.
I'm back. Welcome
to the big
show. Thank
you for joining us.
I'm glad to be back on the.
So glad you could join us.
I don't know. It's like riding a bike. Hopefully I can remember how to do this show. So glad to see you all. Thank you guys for joining us here on Redacted, covering the stories that the mainstream media largely ignores. Just going through some of the stories we've covered over the past few weeks. The collapse of Building 7. Was it a controlled demolition at the World Trade Center? You're not going to see that on your CNN. What else have we covered that you would get booted off mainstream media for covering?
Oh my gosh, so much.
From Israel
COVID documents. Yes, Israel, social protests in Israel. Yeah. We've been busy. We've been busy.
Yeah, pissing people off. And we're glad to be back. So Redacted starts right now. Chat wondering if it's the real Clayton. Yes, it's the real Clayton. I'm back.
Or is it Mission Impossible Clayton? You can rip your face off.
We saw Mission Impossible yesterday. It's probably the best movie you've seen all year, finally, because that Indiana Jones movie was a giant pile of garbage,
pile of elephant poop.
So hey, great to be back. And I just want to say, let me just say this, this show is incredibly hard to do solo. It's hard enough to do with two people. It's incredibly hard to do on your own, to produce, write, interview, put all of these pieces together, and then of course to bring it to air. So hats off to Natalie and the amazing team here at Redacted. It's a very small team, but you guys did an amazing job.
Oh, thanks.
While I was gone. So I enjoyed watching, tuning in while I was on a little vacation, taking the kids on a little world tour.
Yeah, it was daddy summer camp. So anyway, we're glad to have you back. I'm glad to be doing just half the work now. We still are doing the newsletter, though. Clayton is back to copy edit it because I do a lot of the writing. He does a lot of the copy editing, and then we put it together for you. We remind you that it is sort of a compendium of what we do on this show. So it's a great place for you to go to make sure you have links to the stories that we're going to talk about so that you can read them for yourself. You just go to redacted.inc. It's absolutely a free newsletter. It is just a big pile of news for you. Beautiful, fresh smelling like a basket of flowers in your inbox every day, written by the both of us. So again, it's redacted.inc is the newsletter. And you are now on Redacted the show. So thank you again for joining us.
People are saying, well, what about Sound of Freedom? Yes, we didn't have a chance to see it yet. It's not out where we are, unfortunately. But absolutely. And that's a totally, I'm talking like blockbuster popcorn movie versus like a really important movie that everyone should go see, Sound of Freedom. So yes, two different
things.
He's
talking about like popcorn chat. That's what he's going for right now. But we did cover Sound of Freedom last week on the show.
Well, we had Tim Ballard on the show, of course, who Jim Caviezel plays in the movie. So glad to see all of you guys here. Really thrilled to have all of you back here joining us live on this Monday, on this July 17th. We should tell everyone what's in the show tonight. We're going to talk about the terrorist attack in Crimea that unfolded overnight. We're getting more pieces of that story on the Crimean Bridge, the Kerch Bridge. Now, this is round two of the attack on that bridge. And why is NATO wanting to provoke another devastating response from Vladimir Putin? Why? You have to ask yourself, why is NATO doing this? We'll get to the bottom of that, maybe.
Plus, we have Patrick Lancaster broadcasting from Zaporizhia. Since the International Energy Agency refuses to tell us what's actually going on there, who's shelling it, we decided to take a look-see for ourselves from Patrick Lancaster, and we're excited about that. Plus, we have another virus that is predicted to be the next pandemic. They tell us it's moving west. We're going to tell you what that really means, what it's about, how, if you should be afraid or not, if there's lockdowns coming. That's fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, more lockdowns for the UK. So we'll have all of that. Plus, the new defense budget is out. We're going to go through that line item by line item. Redacted starts right now.
Didn't we?
It really is.
Oh, I guess.
We already did that.
Okay, we already ran it? I couldn't remember because we didn't tell everyone what was coming up in the show, so we just ran the intro again.
I know you,
should we run it a third time?
You skipped that, so I ran
it. Okay, listen here. I'm in charge here.
No, you're not.
I'm going to tell you how this is. I was like, why are we running the intro again? Okay, all right.
Let's get to it.
Here we go.
Bunch of noobs.
We could do it between every news story if you like, just for a clean. It's like a... like a toilet flush.
Yeah.
Here we go. Okay.
A good clean flush. All right. Let's get into the news, shall we? Well, the New York Times is now reporting that Russian forces have destroyed at least 20% of all the equipment that the United States and NATO have sent to Ukraine for them to use in the counteroffensive. That's great news. So 20% of all the equipment has been sent there. Many believe that number is much higher, of course, 20%. Seems kind of low, right? I mean, I guess if the New York Times is saying that. Western leaders have also confirmed this. NATO spent $1.2 trillion over the past year. $1.2 trillion. And is now out of ammunition. Money well spent, according to Lindsey Graham, who likes killing Russians.
Free or die.
Free or die.
Now you are free.
Yes.
And we will be.
And the Russians are dying.
It's the best money we've ever spent.
Thank you so much.
Now it's...
Russians are dying, he goes on to say, and he says it's money well spent. It's the best money we've ever spent, he says. Well, it also had the consequences of destroying an entire generation of young Ukrainian men, of course. NATO helped get them all killed. The West doesn't care at all about Ukraine or the Ukrainian people. It's using them, as foreign policy expert James Jatras points out. Listen.
Our policy, however, is to weaken and destroy Russia. Now, for that purpose, yes, we are interested in Ukraine. Ukraine is a club we can beat the Russians with. It has nothing to do with Ukraine, nothing to do with Ukrainians, who are simply expendable people as far as these governments are concerned.
Yeah, expendable. So just as the West admits that Ukraine's vaunted offensive was a complete failure, the United States and NATO are looking for new ways to push us into nuclear world war, and they'll use every last Ukrainian to get their wish. That is, of course, the goal. They do not care at all about Ukraine. Remember that. And NATO doesn't care about Ukraine at all either. They're only using Ukraine to provoke Russia. We know this unequivocally, and they are getting incredibly desperate in the move on this. Around 3 a.m. this morning, NATO-backed Ukrainian forces launched a terror attack against the Kerch Bridge, the largest bridge going into Crimea, of course. It was a terror attack against the people living in Crimea, Russia. This is an area NATO desperately wants to provoke. According to reports, the iconic Crimean Kerch Bridge was attacked using NATO-supplied unmanned ocean drones. How do we know that NATO and Ukraine were behind the attack? Well, they called their friends at the BBC, who they have on speed dial. Hey, BBC, we just want to let you know we take full credit for this. Watch.
Hello, I'm Lucy Gray. Welcome to the programme. Sources in the Ukrainian security services have told the BBC that they carried out an attack on the Kerch Bridge that links Crimea with Russia. The BBC has learnt that the Ukrainian Navy, together with the security services, successfully targeted the bridge. Russia says two people were killed in what it's describing as an emergency on the bridge, which is currently closed to road traffic.
He successfully.
Wait.
Yeah, this
because
is how it happens.
We were told Ukraine had no navy when we asked them about the Nord Stream pipeline.
Right.
Now they have a navy?
No. I love how the BBC is pretending that Ukraine has a navy. That is so adorable.
That's ridiculous.
I love how adorable that the BBC is, that they're pretending that they actually have a navy. What's not adorable, though, is how many people were killed because of the terror attack. Take a look at this video. It's a little hard to watch. Two adults were killed, mother and a father, in that car. Their daughter was in the back seat at the time. What you're seeing is the daughter thrown through the front window. There she is, half in, half out. That's her smashed through the front window of the car after the bombing. And some idiots on Twitter were like, why are these people who are filming taking stock of the attack? Why wouldn't they help this young woman? This woman's abdomen is impaled on broken glass. Would you want some guy to just yank her out of there? No, you'd wait for the medics to show up. And so they're taking stock of what happened and trying to find out if there's any other survivors as the medics arrive. So now this child is an orphan. That poor girl, half in, half out of that car, is an orphan right now. Their parents are dead in the car. Thanks, NATO. Winning the hearts and minds of Crimea. How do you win back the hearts and minds of Crimea? Well, you kill their people, I guess, right? Here's the results of the bridge. Here's the damage that they caused on the bridge. And you can see now as the daylight came up, closed in that major direction on all traffic. Of course, they just finished rebuilding from the last explosion. Here they are picking up pieces and as inspectors looking for different evidence on this. As the sun came up, we can see this damage and investigators have that area closed. You'll recall last year, of course, the last time NATO forces launched a terror attack against the very same Kerch Bridge, it killed a lot more civilians. So I guess according to the BBC, like it was another successful attack. BBC's like, yeah, it was a successful attack against a civilian bridge. Here's that. This was, back in October. Remember this?
Yeah.
And right away, it's amazing right here. You know, these are civilians getting killed there. Right away, the Ukrainian post office launched a commemorative postage stamp that very same day. There you go. Hey, lady, here I am taking a selfie in front of a postage stamp that was published the same day as the bridge attack. How do you manage to get all that coordinated? And how did you manage to know where the explosions would take place and get a giant postage stamp printed up during a war and put it in front of your post office so people could take selfies with it? One of the most despicable things ever.
Yeah, and it's like your goal is to take back Crimea, right? That's supposed to be your territory. That's what you think. So you're going to destroy it to get it back? What mm-hmm. sense does that make? Because
well,
if you do get it back somehow.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, if you get it back somehow, then it's all destroyed and you just got to repair it all.
But that's the same rationale behind the Donbass, right? They're bombing the Donbass saying you belong to us. But they've been bombing the Donbass since 2014, largely because Crimea was protected by the Russian military. They had the same intention for Crimea as they had for the Donbass. That was clear. They were coming in to attack because Crimea stood against the Maidan coup. And so as soon as they stood up against that and say, we don't want to be Western aligned, they began being haunted, literally stalked and haunted. Like buses drove into sabotage attacks where they were attacked by soldiers in 2014. So those people in Crimea stood up and said, we're going to vote to become independent until they knew that Russia was going to then annex them. But they intended to leave Ukraine no matter what. And so the idea that then Russia prevented them from turning Crimea into the Donbass really gives you a perspective on the fact that they don't want to be Ukrainian. They never really did.
No.
They voted in the, I think it was 97%. They voted to join Russia.
Yeah, I think it was 97%.
And so the idea of terrorizing them has always been ideological. It has been happening for 9 years.
97%. Can you imagine Biden with a, He would love an approval rating with that, like that, 97%.
Well, who wouldn't?
Gems in our chat room says, I'm in tears right now. Did this really happen? The horror. This is the best of the West. Yeah, Gems. Exactly. When I was going through this footage today, I mean, I was in tears. And I didn't even play the sound of this poor girl, you know, traveling this bridge with her parents. Can you imagine? She's on, like, cut in half through a window, and she's crying, moaning, because she realizes her parents, right by her feet, are dead. Like, this is the best of the West. You're watching it. So, Ukraine, I don't give a rat's ass who pressed the button. This was all NATO-backed intelligence responsible for this. Make no mistake about it. Get your heads out of your asses. This is not Ukraine and some massive intelligence apparatus. This is the West doing this.
And NATO was buzzing around in 2014 when Russia annexed Crimea. As soon as Russia came in, NATO came in right after that. And we know that that conflict turned into also a Cold War standoff. Thankfully, did not turn into anything that resembled a hot war. But they've been in this region for so, so long. They know that it is absolutely the desire of the Crimean people to be independent and or a part of Russia.
Victoria Nuland knows all about it. Knows all about it and the amount of money that she's invested into making it happen. So imagine.
And so I think it's just worth reminding you, though, that now peace talks continue to hinge because Zelensky continues to say he won't go to peace talks until he gets back Crimea, which he hasn't had for almost a decade now, right? And so this line that we want Crimea back or else no peace talks, this is what you want to hand them over to? It's just worth remembering that. Like, oh, okay, you just terrorize these people. Sure, have them back. The West condones that.
So let's put these postage stamps back up here again because I wanted to make this point here. So this was the post office. This was the Ukrainian post office launching these postage stamps that you could go and take a selfie in front of the very same day where people could go and take a selfie with a big cardboard cutout of this attacking an iconic bridge. Imagine for a second, if you would, if Al-Qaeda launched a commemorative postage stamp of the Twin Towers collapsing in Building 7, by the way. What would the U.S. do? They might invade Afghanistan, even invade other Middle Eastern countries that had nothing to do with it, like Iraq and Syria and Libya. Of course, we can only imagine, right? That's too crazy to even imagine something like that. We would never do something like that. Here's another thought experiment, though. What would the United States do if Russia launched repeated attacks against the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco or the Brooklyn Bridge in New York? What do you think would happen? Well, I'm from the United States. I don't need to imagine. The United States would use this as cause to invade Russia, the decapitation of their leadership, and install their own puppet government. That's exactly what would happen. Well, the shoe is on the other foot. So what will Russia do now? What will they do to Ukraine?
Well, the last time this bridge was attacked, they responded with strikes of infrastructure, major strikes of infrastructure.
Yeah. The last time NATO attacked the Kerch Bridge, Russia launched a devastating series of attacks against NATO infrastructure. Devastating. It hit a NATO headquarters, underground bunker. We know reports that intelligence sources and NATO leadership were killed. It destroyed electrical substations, took out our weapons supply hubs. What do you think will happen this time? Well, we can't be sure. I'm no, you know, what do you call him, a Svengali? Nope, I'm not Karnak. But when you keep hitting one of the major iconic bridges in Russia, something's going to happen. Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman Maria Zakharova says Ukraine carried out this attack with direct involvement from the United States and British intelligence services, CIA, MI6. And we know this happened before. As the gray zone exposed in October, Kit Clarenberg was a guest on our show at the time, broke the story that proved British intelligence plotted and helped carry out the bombing of the Kerch Bridge. The timing of the plot was amazing. Almost on the very day, literally almost on the very day that Russia was meeting with Ukraine to discuss peace talks, NATO was working behind the scenes to scuttle those peace talks and plot this bridge attack. Peace? Nah. Attack Crimea? Yeah, that's the ticket. That's exactly what NATO planned for. In fact, here's a quote from that piece from Kit Clarenberg. The roadmap was produced by Hugh Ward, a British military veteran. A number of strategies for helping Ukraine pose a threat to Russian naval forces in the Black Sea are outlined in this plan. The overriding objections are stated as aiming to degrade Russia's ability to blockade Kiev, erode Moscow's warfighting capability, and isolate Russian land and maritime forces in Crimea by denying resupply by sea and overland via the Kerch Bridge. Now, I'll just kind of wrap it up by pointing this out. Nothing's changed. They failed, so the plan was still in place.
Nothing's
by all accounts.
Changed for us, those people
no.
lost their lives. But
what I mean is nothing changed in their plan, right? They did not degrade Russia's warfighting capability. They did not degrade their maritime forces in Crimea. So to them, Victoria Nuland and all of those other people, the plan is still there. The plan is still in place. Why wouldn't they try again? Right? It's
right.
Like we know there are reports that they tried to blow up the Nord Stream pipeline before and failed and then carried it out successfully. So here they did carry, you know, an explosion on the Kerch Bridge once before. Well, didn't fully work. Let's try it again. Let's launch another 3 a.m. attack using these unmanned sea drones and carry it out again.
Yes, but the terror bit of it continues. It's the same thing that has been happening in the Donbas since 2004. I saw a comment recently saying, is this a Russian joke channel or Russian, like, because we are unwilling to repeat Western lies that Ukraine is somehow, the Ukrainian government or military is somehow heroic? They're not. And they have not been. They've been attacking people for years. We won't lie and say all of a sudden this is a great thing to be doing with Western money.
Yeah, we are Americans. And as members of the independent media and journalists, we should be holding these powerful people to account. These liars who have dragged us into a proxy war, and hundreds of thousands of people are dead as a result of it. And not to mention economies in ruin, trillions of dollars spent on ammunition. You have Western partners that are now in the toilet. I mean, Germany, look at their economy, for crying out loud. Look, we blew up a Nord Stream pipeline, destroyed their economy. We should all be questioning this. But of course, nobody in the Western media is questioning it.
No,
CNN's
it is
not
my
questioning
opinion
it.
That the flag in a Ukraine flag in a bio, if you are not Ukrainian, is the equivalent of supporting the weapons of mass destruction lies. That's how I feel about it. And so I've never been to Russia. I've never been to Ukraine. I don't support anything. I just know exactly what is a lie now because we have been all along reading history books, because we're here to rewind the tape, and because we know we've been lied to be drawn into war too many times.
Go ahead, David.
Well, and the funny thing is, all of these countries are suffering economically. We got the Putin gas prices and all this stuff. We are suffering economically. And the one country that is supposed to be suffering the most because of our sanctions and everything else is Russia. And they're thriving right now. So what sense does it make?
Yeah. The dollar is actually strong to the ruble right now. But still Russia has one of the lowest inflation rates in the world planet Earth.
Because the U.S. dollar is artificially propped up. I mean, my God, guys, did you guys see the numbers that came out from the Congressional Budget Office last week while everyone was out, you know, celebrating and eating hot dogs? It was buried on page 8 of the Congressional Budget Office report was the fact that we are now spending $652 billion up to this point in 2023 just on the interest payments on our debt, just on the interest payments on our $32 trillion
in debt.
Wait,
say it again. How much is it?
Right now, everyone pay attention. This is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. It gives me chills even thinking about it because you're watching the West collapse. $652 billion. The United States, up to this point, is spending on interest payments on our debt. By the end of the year, the projections are in 12 months, over $1 trillion in interest payments for us to be $32 trillion in debt. Think about that. How is that sustainable? The answer is it's not. $32 trillion in debt, and we're paying $1 trillion in interest payments to be in that debt to China and to these other international big banks like JP Morgan Chase. Why do you think they keep getting big handouts like First Republic Bank and any other banks we want to give you? You want to take FTX? We got this crypto bank over here. You want to take that one? Here you go, Jamie Dimon. It's because we're indebted to them.
Somebody needs to tell them they need to stop paying just the minimum.
Yeah.
Right. You know, the minimum monthly payment.
That $10 monthly payment. Hey, Janet Yellen, did you get your monthly payment in? Yeah. Yeah. I'm just sealing up the envelope now with my, going to send it in, $10 payment, just the minimum.
You know, who was the person that you had me read his book? Harvey, the guy who wrote the books about the debt, the American economy. I can't remember his name right now, but he said that the interest payment on our debt exceeds the GDP. I'm not sure if that's true.
This year, in 12 months, I can tell you this much, $1 trillion spent on the interest payment now will exceed our Social Security payments. The number one outlay, government outlay that we spend money on is Social Security. Defense is down the list. Number one now is the interest on our debt. Wrap your heads around that. And we're going to get to the defense budget, which we're about to sign off on. The largest defense budget in American history is about to pass the House of Representatives and then head to the president's desk after the Senate deals with it. So I don't know, guys. I mean, make sure you guys have like put gold money, you know, away, and just you guys are protecting your families right now, because these guys are leading us to absolute ruin.
Well, don't worry about it. They can fix it with quantum computing, because there's money in the defense budget for that.
Oh, good.
So maybe we can like warp time and space and reality and make it not so.
We've got more news to get to here on your Monday, if you can believe it. We've got a lot of news. Patrick Lancaster is going to be joining us from a report in Zaporizhia. He's the only journalist who's actually going to the nuclear power plant that's been under constant attack. You're not going to see that on your CNN or your MSNBC. So we will have that report for you in mere moments. Plus, we're going to look at the defense budget and more. But first, I want to tell you about our friends at Bird Dogs. I'm a fan of khaki shorts. Would you say I'm a fan of khaki shorts?
I would say you are a connoisseur.
Yes.
Of khaki shorts.
That's like all I wear. It's all I wear, honestly. And Bird Dogs makes these fantastic stretch khaki shorts. So, you know, if you had a few too many burgers this 4th of July, yeah, you want to have a little stretch to them. Anyway, they're designed to fit slimmer through the thigh, give you a truly sculpted look. Great for golf, great for, you know, just going to the store, great for hanging out, mowing the lawn, hanging out with your family. You know, it's going to be 113 degrees in Italy this week, isn't it? 113
yeah,
degrees, something
45.
Like that.
45.
So, you know, you might want to wear some shorts. You might want to try them out. Bird Dogs shorts do the exact same thing as Lululemon, but they fit way better. Trust me. They fit way better than regular shorts that are made of a stiff, like restrictive cotton. Bird Dogs fix this issue by inventing cotton knit fabric that looks just like khaki, but it stretches, so you get a way slimmer fit without having to sacrifice movement. Bird Dogs uses anti-stink. David, you need some of that. The anti-stink fabric.
Oh, yeah, I do.
I don't know if he smells.
I don't know. No, he doesn't. He's clean as a whistle. Anti-stink and sweat-wicking fabric that keeps you cool and dry all day long. Show yourself wearing Bird Dogs on camera, if you'd like, and send us your photos. That's what I'd like you to do. Can you guys send us some photos? If you buy some Bird Dogs, send us your photos. We have a photos, an email account, right? What is it? photos@redacted.inc. So if you guys get some Bird Dogs, send us your pictures, and we will show them on the show. We'll show how much better you look here on the show. Send them in if you'd like. We'd love that. And I really like them. So here's how you can get a free Yeti-style tumbler, by the way. If you go to birddogs.com/redacted, enter the promo code redacted for a free Yeti-style tumbler with your order. That's birddogs.com/redacted. And use the promo code redacted for a free Yeti-style tumbler. You won't want to take your Bird Dogs off. We promise you. We promise you. So go check them out. Get ready for more lockdowns, folks, in the United Kingdom or around the world. We've been warning you, of course, that lockdowns are about to happen, could happen again. And this time they've been warning us that it could be even worse than before. And the biggest concern, of course, that it would be children. That this time, this new virus, whatever they're going to release, whatever's coming out now, part two, will be more deadly. And it will specifically go after children. So lockdowns, we didn't do them quite as stringently as we could have before, but now we will do them better this time. That's what they want.
All right. Well, we're being warned to be on the lookout for a new virus called CCHF. It's the Crimean Congo Hemorrhagic Fever, I'm going to call it CCHF, if that's all the same to you. Now, we're being told that some cases have already been reported in Spain, and most likely it's going to move west. The last case in Spain was in 2016. More recent deaths have happened in Pakistan. So let's go through this, because when they say, like, oh my gosh, it's already in Spain, it has been, like I said, for 7 years now. So what is this? Is it serious and is it real? Let's go through it. In 2011, the Journal of Infectious Diseases published this paper from Indian researchers when cases of CCHF started to cause an outbreak in Gujarat, a western state in India. Now, here is the history of this virus and why it's named after Crimea and Congo, two places that are very far apart, if you know your geography. That's because it was first discovered among Soviet Union personnel from the military in Crimea during the World War II. So it was named Crimean hemorrhagic fever, but then it was shown to be similar to this Congo virus that caused febrile illnesses in Belgian Congo. So the linking of the two names. So that's why we're calling it that. So inevitably, you know, when these names, when these viruses have names of places, now we all have to be sensitive to whether or not that's racist or whether or not that means anything. Well, locational places aside, let's, you know, this doesn't sound like a fun thing to actually get. It's transmitted through ticks, but it can pass through livestock to humans too. This also is from that research paper. So see, these ticks can bite like the bunnies and the livestock or the cows and then pass that on. This is another thing where you're like, oh, okay, are they gonna, you know, warn us about meat now, the next pandemic? Is that going to be a thing? You know, I'm just looking at this and like reading between the lines. This is me extrapolating. We don't know yet, but now we've been conditioned to ask questions like this. So, okay. And infected people can infect one another too. It says here that even though it's a tick disease, secondary cases are frequently seen due to human-to-human transmission via percutaneous or mucosal exposure to blood and bodily fluids. This uncommon transmission takes place most often among healthcare workers in hospital settings. Well, how serious is it? Well, this one has a much higher fatal rate than COVID. So, you know, when they say like, oh, we didn't get their attention enough last time, does this number get your attention? 40 to 60% fatal in some cases. Disease is fatal in 40 to 60% of cases. Severe cases, death occurs as a result of multi-organ failure, intravascular coagulation, and circulatory shock. So yeah, it's bad. It says patients may also have a feeble pulse, tachycardia, loss of hearing, loss of memory. Also, it can cause headaches and vomiting and upset stomach. Now, there is actually a known vaccine that was discovered as far back as 2010. It comes from mouse brains. Would you like that? A mouse brain vaccine?
Hmm.
It's an inactivated suckling mouse brain derived vaccine has been used in Bulgaria for protection against CCHF. But there is also a patent for an antibody treatment in the United States that has been pending since 2011. Take a look at this. All of these pharmaceutical companies have an anti-Crimean Congo hemorrhagic fever virus antibody that they have with the U.S. Patent Office just sitting there waiting for final approval by these biopharmaceutical institutions. Interestingly enough, MAP Pharmaceuticals, which is listed there, is also working on Marburg virus. Remember, we talked about Marburg virus back in March and how the World Health Organization was warning us that this also could be the next pandemic. But already the media is picking up on this CCHF as a climate change issue. Nobody has proven that. They just feel comfortable running headlines like this, climate change helping this new virus, deadly virus, spread. They're saying it's warmer waters and warmer weathers that lead to drier summers that's causing ticks to move through Europe. Only, again, the cases in Spain were detected in 2011 and 2016. So how does current climate affect the ticks? Well, we don't know. I mean, Spain is in the Iberian Peninsula where we live, and we had record rainfall this year. So who knows if that actually changes things. But, you know, if you, again, look at this, they're saying, you know, this is not hypothetical. Something already happened. You know, Spain detected these cases in 2016 and 2011. But this climate change narrative that's not been proven anywhere, it is, in fact, hypothetical. Like this says, you know, it's not hypothetical. It literally is. Like, it's not proven. It is a hypothesis, but okay. But the World Health Organization has already warned us that they need global powers to address climate change. Remember, we've been talking about this a lot. The World Health Organization has the pandemic treaty. They want powers that supersede every world government so that they can make decisions in order to prevent pandemics, right? Or control pandemics. Well, here is from that treaty that we warned you about just a few months ago. They said that they are going to address these drivers of emergence and re-emergence of disease at the animal, human, animal, environmental interface, including but not limited to climate change, land use change, wildlife trade, desertification, and antimicrobial resistance. So they've already said, hey, we need control of how you use land. We need control of everything because climate change can lead to pandemics, which gives us the power over everything, right? So we're already trained to listen for that kind of thing. And again, they're claiming that anything and everything and anything is regarding land use, which, like, I can't fly, can you? Like, that's everything, basically. You know, they need to be in charge of it, redistribute it, make decisions about it because of possible pandemics. So again, no one has proven that CCHF is actually migrating because of climate change. Even though the media tells us this is hypothetical, it is literally the definition of a hypothesis, but okay. So we'll watch this one.
But these professors are saying, like, yeah, it's coming. Like, and that's why Britain is on lockdown alert. You know,
well,
it's going to 40% of victims are going to die as a result of this.
The
it's
scientist
coming.
Who testified last week to Parliament said, I don't know if lockdowns are the way to prevent this one, but it's coming here.
And it's and he said it is coming. He said it's not a matter of when or if it's not a matter of if. He said it's when. It's coming, though. That's what he says. And Jim Ferguson at GB News posted this. He said, breaking news, a pandemic of the vaccinated. He said a top virologist has made a video claiming to be his last and that he believes potentially there would be mass death and outbreaks of illness towards the end of this summer. It comes on the heels of reports, he says, that another pandemic may be heading to the UK, which could cause another mass lockdown event, and it could be the big one, killing 40% of its victims. And they're saying that this would be cover for those who've already been vaccinated and becoming ill due to injuries caused by their
immune
systems.
Well, I watched that
video.
What he literally says is that people who have been vaccinated have certain immunocompromises now, and that he thinks they are a group that may be, well, actually what he says is that groups who may not be susceptible to this are the unvaccinated. That's literally what he says. He doesn't say that the vaccinated are susceptible. He's saying the unvaccinated are not. That's what he said.
Not susceptible.
It's a double negative.
Yeah.
You can put this
not
together.
Susceptible. Right. So
if you speak a romance language, a double negative is a negative. But if you speak
common,
English,
right?
A double negative is a positive. And so you can, I'm sorry for that grammar. Anyway, the point is that, you know, the expert who testified in the UK Parliament is saying, we don't think we need anything like lockdowns yet, but we need to watch this because it's coming west because of climate change, which is not, he didn't say that. The media is saying that. So they're putting all kinds of like BS on top of the idea that there was a virus in Spain in 2016. You know, outbreaks of this are not uncommon in Eastern countries. That doesn't mean we shouldn't care about them. Absolutely, we should. Someone's been working on this mouse brain vaccine for 13 years now. So, like, yes, we should care about that, right? But we shouldn't, like, swallow this BS about climate change or anything like that. Anyway, let us know what you think of this in the chat. This information and all these links to original sources will be in tomorrow's newsletter. And if you think I've misinterpreted something or you'd like to add something to it, I'd love to see what your comments are.
All right, we've got more news to get to here in a moment. We will, of course, bring you this Patrick Lancaster report from Zaporizhia Nuclear Power Plant in just moments. And we're also going to talk about this defense budget, because remember last year when we all warned you that that a $1 trillion defense budget was probable? Yeah, well, I think it's already here. We're going to show you these new numbers, which are absolutely jaw-dropping. And again, I sort of think about this in terms of, I just watched a video from the streets of Philadelphia this morning, and someone's just parked, you know, driving through central Philadelphia, stopped at a stoplight, and just was like looking, and it's like Night of the Living Dead, drug zombies just like walk, I mean, everywhere across the United States. But we're spending $1 trillion on our defense right now. Defense from what? Who's attacking us? We're attacking ourselves, and we're spending $1 trillion. It's unbelievable. So we'll get into all of the nooks and crannies of that.
Yes.
But first,
we want to tell you about our friends over at Stamps. Now, me being the stationery dork, I am the one who should read this, because I love all things postage. I love all things organizational.
All things stamps.
I love all things stamps. I wish that I could like click everything in life. Anyway, with so much of our world digitalized and automated, why stick to old school mailing and shipping? If you mail or ship often, let stamps.com do the hard part for you. You can print your postage on your beautiful stationery, and you can be ahead of the game, so you don't walk into the post office and wait in line like a chump. No, you have all your stuff printed and you can just drop it and go. It's a post office in your office. Post rates just increased again recently, so Stamps.com has the best discounts in the industry. They have amazing partnerships with USPS and UPS for unbeatable rates. Up to 84% off. Plus, Stamps.com automatically tells you your cheapest and fastest options, and they have been your postage partner for the last 25 years. It is a stress-free solution. You can track, you can ship, you can automate, you can ship in bulk, all of those things. If you want to do it, they can help you do it. So avoid the hassle and get started with Stamps.com today. Sign up with a promo code REDACTED for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. Just go to Stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the page, and enter code REDACTED. All right.
Well, the only journalist who's been to the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant in recent memory is Patrick Lancaster, who has been covering what's been happening and the attacks, the nonstop attacks in the Donbas, Donetsk, and other areas, and in the Belgorod region. Now he's at Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, just arrived there, where it's been under constant attack over the past year and a half or so. And the IAEA, of course, says they don't know where those shells are coming from. Even though they say made in the USA on them, we can't figure out where exactly these HIMARS weapons that are attacking a nuclear power plant are coming from. What's the real story here with arguably one of the biggest potential disasters that could befall all of us or this entire region, especially Europe, if a nuclear cloud is released as a result of an attack, or a vapor attack also, which is a major problem. So Patrick Lancaster just filed this report for Redacted from the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. Take a look.
We have just arrived at the largest nuclear power plant in Europe and in the top 10 in the world, the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant. This is the entrance to the plant itself. We can see cars going back and forth, so it's obviously a work day. We are getting our first real close look inside the plant at the reactors. So let's go a little bit closer. And we can have a closer look. Here, we can see 6 reactors. And now, we're gonna go inside, find some officials, talk to them, workers, talk to them about what the real situation is here on the ground. Because we're here to show you the situation, because the Western mainstream media won't. All
right, so we've made it inside the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant. You see the six reactors right behind me, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. See a parking lot full of cars. It's a working day here, and we're going to be talking to some of the officials on the ground here to find out what the real situation is. Not only officials, but also workers, to find out what's really happening here. So you don't have to rely on what somebody in Kiev is saying, or any Western mainstream media that's not even near here, that won't come here to show you the truth, the facts. They only regurgitate what Kiev tells them to say. We're here on the ground to show you the real facts.
Представьтесь, пожалуйста, вашу должность, как вас зовут полностью, как вас титровать?
Ренат Корча, советник генерального директора концерна «Росэнергоатом». Это дивизион электрогенерации госкорпорации «Росатом».
And what's the status of the plant right now?
На самой станции все абсолютно нормально. Если... Я не знаю, как это точно, абсолютно не знаю, как это на английском сказать, но вот в этой ненормальности есть нормальность, и эта нормальность там. Аномально лишь одно, что ни один из энергоблоков, ни один из реакторов сегодня не генерирует электрической энергии, к сожалению. Ответственность за это исключительно на по ту сторону Днепра, то есть на украинском режиме. Я могу сказать абсолютно точно и ответственно, что никого там, на Украине и у их западных кураторов реально ядерная безопасность не интересует. Это инструмент, это средство. Это инструмент шантажа, это инструмент запугивания, это инструмент решения военных задач, это инструмент манипуляции общественным мнением, в том числе и на Западе. Потому что, если реально была бы озабоченность ядерной безопасностью, то никто бы по этой атомной станции не стрелял. Отвечая на вот вопрос, я могу сказать, что у нас, в принципе, все нормально. Ядерная безопасность обеспечивается, все системы работают штатно, фона изменения радиации нету. А если говорить об угрозах, то есть только одна угроза ядерной безопасности, имя ее киевский режим. Вот как-то так.
Понял. As you know, Zelensky a few days ago has said that Russia has put mines on the roof and done other things to put the station at risk. Just to be 100% clear, in your knowledge, has Russia done anything to put the right reactors at risk or the nuclear waste?
Знаете, война – это, конечно, абсурд само по себе, как явление. Даже в этом абсурде должна быть логика. А когда мне говорят, что мы хотим заминировать атомную станцию, я задаю контрвопрос, зачем? Это наше. Зачем я буду минировать свое? Это первое. Второе. Зачем я буду подвергать угрозе смертельной своих людей? Ведь вы поймите, это же радиация. Это не там оружие высокоточное, которое прилетело в определенную точку, уничтожило объекта и нанесло физический урон этому объекту. И все. да, как бы людям там убьют. Это радиация, а радиация границ не знает. Радиация зависит от розы ветров. Подвергать смертельной угрозе свое население, свои территории, да, как бы. И это не только территория Запорожской области, это территория близлежащих других регионов Российской Федерации, это территория Донецкой Народной Республики. Границ нет у радиации. Рождают, как правило, слухи вот подобного рода люди, которые ни разу не были на атомной станции. Они вообще не знают, как это происходит, понимаете? К сожалению, это западные технологии, это в том числе американские технологии информационного воздействия, информационного манипулирования, когда ложь, она лишена всяких смыслов. Цель другая. У них очень много медийных площадок, понимаете, очень много медийных каналов доведения информации, и они начинают сыпать, то есть по количеству касаний. Надо учитывать, что люди, к сожалению, это объективно, да, как бы они далеки от реального понимания вещей. Что-то это только крыша, а там еще защита у самого реактора. It is impossible. Это невозможно, в принципе, да, как бы, это ложь от начала до конца, вот, история, связанная с минированием крыши.
The same question, but for Ukraine. Has he seen Ukraine do anything to endanger the plants, the reactors, or the waste, or does he expect it to happen?
Давайте сразу,
способны ли они на это?
Да, давайте сразу определимся. В дефинициях. Это важный момент. Украина уже с самого начала конфликта не субъектна. Они не принимают решения. Решение принимается, понятно, в Вашингтоне, решение принимается в Лондоне, но не здесь. Вот. Почему? Потому что играть с радиацией могут только те, кто уверен на 100%, что им ничего не угрожает, понимаете? Это первый момент. Второй момент, что же все-таки могут сделать? Ядерной катастрофы у них здесь не получится однозначно.
Не будет, да?
Это однозначно, но не получится. Ядерная катастрофа, она может быть только быть связана с серьезными системными повреждениями ядерного реактора. Они, ядерный реактор защищен, и в этом смысле европейское сообщество может быть и мировое спокойно абсолютно. Но они могут здесь устроить очаг радиационного заражения. Это реально. Почему? Потому что есть помимо ядерного, значит, блока, есть еще более уязвимые помещения на территории станции с точки зрения попадания снаряда. Те помещения, в которых расположены радиоактивные материалы. Да? И в этом смысле, да, действительно, они могут устроить этот очаг радиационного заражения. Это страшно все равно. Понимаете, я вас уверяю, те люди, которые пострадают от этого радиационного заражения, им будет все равно. Это ядерная катастрофа была размеров Чернобыля, предположим, или Фукусимы. Или это был просто ядерный инцидент, понимаете. Они пострадают, люди. Площади, территории пострадают. Весь вопрос только в том, до какой степени безумия. Ну, потому что грязная атомная бомба, они тоже ее реально могут сделать. Она, эта история связана с количеством материала, делящегося, так называемого материала, говоря проще, радиоактивного материала, которым будет начинен, то есть мощность этой грязной бомбы. Им нужна именно эта задача. Потом дальше, что произойдет, я вам скажу. Дальше все будет, как в голливудских фильмах. Америка же всегда спасает весь мир. Понимаете, она везде, в Афганистане, в Сирии, где угодно. И вот это все здесь произойдет, да, как бы радиационный фон изменится, и они
начнут спасать мир. От слова, то есть Россию объявят страной террористов. Никто разбираться не будет, понимаете? Это примерно то же самое. То есть и так весь мир сегодня, по сути, не весь мир, это важный момент, но вот страны, входящие в НАТО, по сути дела, ведут коллективную войну с Российской Федерацией. Им еще это надо узаконить. То есть сделать так, чтобы они Ирак бомбили без санкций ООН, они Югославию бомбили без санкций ООН, они везде что хотели, то и делали, этот блок НАТО, я имею в виду, да, как бы. Они здесь не могут этого себе позволить, потому что четко понимают, что получат по зубам. А по зубам получать не хочется. Поэтому надо придумать какой-то механизм в их понимании, который позволит им это сделать легально. Вот, и вот все игры с Запорожской атомной станцией построены вокруг этого. Вот. Но и персонал, я повторяю. И мы рядом находящиеся и оказывающие помощь, ядерной катастрофы не допустим абсолютно точно.
Все. Спасибо большое.
All right, redacted. You hear it straight from the advisor to the director of Rosatom, the Russian company that's in charge here now. And he says there's no possibility of a nuclear disaster here. He says it's just not going to happen. It's just a fact, as he says. So I think he knows better than Zelensky. And we see on the roofs here, we don't see mines. Of course, we're not up there. But, you know, this, as they said, just another ploy by Ukraine to get a little bit more attention to them from the West. So we're going to keep pushing on to continue to show you these stories here. So, again, this has been a special update for Redacted. More to come.
And thanks, Patrick. The only journalist covering this story and getting the straight skinny from the people who are actually at the nuclear power plant. You don't get that from the IAEA giving us this information.
Even the idea of going there, like, you know, we're so conditioned to the fact that that is a hotbed. It feels like...
Oh, under constant attack.
There. Yeah.
Yeah, constant shelling is what's been happening there. So, anyway.
I mean, I want to... I will say I'm motivated to want to believe him when he says doesn't look like impending nuclear disaster. Is it okay that I say I want to hear that? Most of the time I don't have an agenda, but no nuclear disaster is my agenda.
Well, yeah, and we have a longer version of that that's going to be coming out, right, Clayton? That's going to be coming up. And the guy actually goes into and describes like structurally why these buildings are not susceptible to you can't just hit them with a bomb and it's going to create a bunch of fallout. It doesn't work that way. But it was too long. So
we'll release that, the full version of that, if you'd like to dive deeper into that and educate yourselves more on it. I know it's a lot of reading, but hey, you're educated individuals. Readers are leaders. So if you want to read and understand what's going on, actually what's going on there, you're not going to hear this anywhere else. So thank you to Patrick for that report. We've got more news to get to. We're going to dive through this defense budget. Oh my gosh, guys, this really pisses me off. And of course, you know, I have been a big proponent of eliminating this massive defense budget, getting it back down to what Eisenhower warned us about before Eisenhower warned us about this, making sure that we don't have this massive, massive standing military industrial complex. And that's what this is. So we'll get to that in a second. But if you guys are paying attention to what's happening in the economy, you see that the US dollar is on the verge of collapse, guys. And if you have your money tied to the US dollar, please, 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 you know, educate yourselves on what's happening right now. If you've got savings accounts that your family relies on, right, you've got a few thousand dollars in your savings account and it's tied to the US dollar, please, I'm telling you, protect yourself right now. Because the US dollar is being devalued on purpose right before your eyes. That means the $1 that you have in your savings account today will be worth less tomorrow. That's just a fact. And you understand inflation. You understand what the US government is doing right now because its back is against the wall. We are $32 trillion in debt. And the interest payments alone on that debt are going to exceed $1 trillion in the next 12 months, according to the Congressional Budget Office. That means the only way to get out of this mess is to further inflate and devalue the U.S. dollar. So again, if your family's future is sitting in U.S. dollars, you might want to think about real estate, gold, silver, actual tangible assets that have sustained for thousands of years. They have a 4,000 or 5,000 year track record. That's a pretty good track record. And every government currency in world history has collapsed. All of them. Why would the United States dollar be the one that suddenly survives? It's not going to happen. And you're watching it collapse before your eyes. So I personally, Natalie and I personally, are big investors of gold and silver. And our friends at Lear Capital can help you get set up with a Lear gold and silver account. So you can start either buying gold, gold coins, gold bars. You can store it at your house. You have a safe. You can store it offsite in a storage facility. It's totally up to you. We choose to do that. We keep ours offsite. Although I do have a few gold bars here that I'd like to show you. These are from Lear. See if you can see that there. This is one of our little gold bars. Here's a bigger silver bar. These things are so heavy, by the way. But our friends, this is fine silver. So you can get some sent to you if you'd like to have some on hand in a personal home safe, or you can have it offsite, totally up to you. But they can help you get set up with a free investor's guide right now. Just call their 800 number to see if it's a fit for you. But even if you're just putting like $1,000 in precious metals, or you're, you know, just to make sure your family has something in savings that's not tied to the US dollar or the euro, frankly, I don't really care what government currency. But call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. They love to be able to talk on the phone with you because then you can develop that relationship. You can ask them questions. And when you call them, you can even qualify to get up to $15,000 in free bonus metals with a qualified purchase. $15,000 with a qualified purchase. So call their 800 number, 1-800-613-3557. We have it. I'll have a link in the description below. Big believers in gold and silver. Or you can go to their website, learredacted.com. That's learredacted.com.
All right. Well, remember last year when we warned you that we would get to a $1 trillion per year defense budget? We're creeping there. We again had another monumental jump in the proposed military defense budget. This was passed by the House of Representatives over the weekend, but this is a proposal. I think it's important to keep an eye on it because it's showing us where the wind blows and just how much it continues to deflate. Now, remember last year we were scandalized, I tell you, because the budget came in at $847 billion, and that was $45 billion more than the administration even asked for. They just magically said, no, take more, actually. So this new one, again, hasn't passed yet, and the Senate is working on its own version of this bill before some version of it does go to the president's desk to sign. Surely this is not the final version, but let's just look at where the wind is blowing and what Congress, and now this is not, you know, Congress, they're elected representatives. They're supposed to do what they think the American people wants them to do. I don't know who's asking them to do this. I don't know why they think that this is, you know, what they're elected to do, but these are the things they're doing. Before we do that, let's just look at this in global context. This data comes from the Stockholm International Peace Research Institute, but some nice user on Wikipedia laid it out in this graphic, and I appreciate it. I was able to look over these numbers just to see if this is just like done by a kooky person on Wikipedia, and it seems to check out. Now, almost all of the world's military spending is from the West. Take a look at since the 1950s, the dark blue is the U.S., the light blue is other NATO, although that is largely funded by the U.S.
Yeah, other right. NATO just means
so
the
if
U.S.
you look at 2020, well, I would say 70% of this line on the 2020 access is the U.S. And then China, which does seem to be expanding, but not at the same rate. We're going to look at that for a second. Russia, we tell you about all the time. We know what their military is capable of, but look at they're capable of all of this on such a small budget. I really, that's hard to understand. How are they withstanding this war on such a small budget? But we've talked about this before. And then other countries. Now, again, almost all of the world's spending is in the West, and most of it through the United States dollar. you know, China this year approved a 7.2% defense budget. That put it at an increase to $224 billion. So again, we're talking about U.S. at $847 billion. For China, this is a big jump, but still just a quarter of where the United States is. And it's a larger military, too. They have more people employed. And again, Russia, we talk about enough, so we can talk about that another time. So here is the House version that we're dealing with, H.R. 2670. Sounds like a stormtrooper number. It comes in at 1,236 pages, and I will admit I did not read every word. I could not do that in the time I had. But I'm going to give you a summary of the things that I think are noteworthy, either because they're new or they may benefit military families, which I'm in favor of, or they may be controversial. So let's start with what's new. Meet Space National Guard. This is in the defense bill.
Space National Guard?
Space National Guard. It's like regular ass National Guard.
They only go to space on the weekends.
I guess so.
That's right, David.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like it. Like regular National
Guard.
I'd
sign up for that. You only want to go to space on the weekend? Then join the Space National Guard.
I'm very curious, though, about the like training level, because like
it's part of the Air Force training. So they do Air Force basic training. So the Space Force does Air Force basic training in the same way that, you know, you go through Army basic training. So it's they handle basic training through the Air Force.
But if you're a reservist, are you fully trained to go to space, or they give you just like half the training?
Well, none
like
of these
hopefully
people,
you don't have to be called up.
I mean, none of these people are going to space, right? I mean, they're what they're being used for is similar. It's you know, strategic, basically computer based work. I mean, a lot of it's strategic and computer based work at the Space Force.
Okay.
They're not exactly going to space.
All right. So again, this is like the National Guard, which however, is a reservist component of the military. Only this is for space.
Yeah. However, once we get this UFO disclosure, which Congress is actively working on, and the U.S. defense, the U.S. defense companies actively want them to release this information.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to then start ramping up to create out spacecraft that are going into the exosphere and going way out there. So you're going to have Raytheon, you're going to have all of these guys who are going to absolutely want soldiers to be a part of this. And the military industrial complex is pushing for this disclosure, by the way. That's why it was just voted on in Congress overwhelmingly. So this budget will even go higher. Because now the Space Force, they'll need to build, Raytheon will need to build interstellar craft to go after a threat that they invent and make up.
Okay.
Just want to throw that in there.
You have a lot of like extrapolation from just a reservist force for the space.
I'm just telling you where things are going. This is why these guys have been pushing for this. This is why the defense industry is very much in favor of coming out and telling everyone for the truth finally.
Okay. All they're saying is that they're going to have a reservist National Guard. And what I'm saying is like, is it that easy to be an understudy for space?
I am.
You're not.
I'm probably more qualified to be on the Space Reserve National Guard than any of these clowns.
You're on another planet right now. Okay, let's go to the next thing, which I think is worth looking at, which is research on quantum computing. That is part of defense. Quantum computing as part of defense. Now, this is quite interesting, right? It kind of reminds me of when the military would employ like psychic mediums or remote viewers, because to me, I know quantum computing can be many things, but like remote access to things that are separate is how I think about this. So quantum computing and tests, and also working with the private sector, they're calling them non-traditional defense contractors. Well, who here, take a look at this next screen, who would be a non-traditional defense contractor for quantum computing? I literally have
Microsoft?
Not... No, Microsoft is already a traditional
defense
contractor.
I mean, they are literally paid billions of dollars on traditional defense budgets. I mean,
We can talk about Dell, Google, like all the normal, you know, tech companies, they are defense contractors. We know that. So let's think of non-traditional defense contractors who could help the U.S. military in quantum computing. I'm not trying to lead you here. I'm literally asking the question.
Anonymous?
Anonymous.
Right?
I don't know. Maybe
the Israeli intelligence services.
Is Apple going to get in the game?
No, David, non-traditional. We have to think of non-traditional. I mean, I'm thinking like Okay, but again,
that kid that tracks Elon Musk's jet, maybe he's going to get in on it.
You guys,
he's pretty good. Right.
We have to think of quantum as the idea of like time and space exists in a box, like a rhythm, right? That's what quantum physics tells us. And like we experience time and space linearly.
Right.
But quantum means I can take two particles that are at different ends of the world and affect them. And militarily speaking, that's a desirable thing to do because I could like basically do quantum voodoo on something.
Yeah, they've been
for whatever.
They've been doing this for
years.
Right.
So let's think about the idea of non-traditional quantum. It's not like
I'm telling you guys.
Yes.
Guys, wake up.
Look, what did he just say? Let him say it again.
Like Hank Pym. Yes. Yeah. Like Ant-Man.
Yes. That's what I'm thinking. Something more like that. Okay. But I don't know.
I'm telling you guys, I know you guys mock me for this. I'm telling you, there will be a day when you're going to say Clayton was right in the same way that you all say that about Alex Jones and other stories. I'm telling you that this is coming. And when this UFO disclosure story unfolds, these pieces of this quantum piece of this anti-gravity technology piece of this interdimensional piece of this is all going to come out. We have the whistleblowers from Raytheon on the record about this stuff, guys. It's going to come, and you guys will all say Clayton was right, and I'll rewind the tape.
Why are you inserting yourself into this story?
Because people are saying it in the chat, and then they're saying that, you know, Clayton's right on the quantum alien piece of this. I'm telling you that this is coming.
Okay. So non-traditional defense contractor is otherworldly defense contractor.
Or black budget stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, who knows exactly knows what's what on this, but
okay. That is a very vague term. I'm very interested to know what non-traditional defense contractors that specialize in quantum computing means. So yes, Hank Pym, I think you're on the right track there. Okay. A couple other things worth noting. It says no defense department can spend money on critical race theory or committees for the environment. There can be innovation studies about more sustainable fuel. That is something like real and desirable, right? But no committees to lecture the military on environment or critical race. So, okay. It does establish what's called sex neutral fitness standards for the military. It's not necessarily a budgeting concern, is it? But you need sex neutral fitness standards. So for instance, like, you know, the push-up not a push-up test, a man will have to like a man will have to do 20 push-ups and a woman would have to do 10 or what have you, right? So get rid of those, establish sex neutral fitness standards. You don't have to, you know, have different standards. So
yeah. I mean, this is how, this is, yeah, exactly. This is how
what
America,
did he say?
This is,
what did he say?
So I'd say, so now men just have to do 10 cause you can't make the women move up to the men's level cause they can't do it, you know, in some cases. So it's like, they're going to move the standard. So exactly. Everybody just does 10.
Right. Exactly. This is how you win, right? This is how America's military gets stronger, uh-huh. Right? We weaken everybody. Like that's exactly what's going to happen. So man, America winning again.
Okay. Those have not been defined yet, but yeah, you're probably right. They will teach to the slowest person in the room instead of the fastest. Does this make any of us safer? Well, I don't know. You know, one thing that is a concern that they talk about is identifying the threat of the fentanyl crisis. Take a look at this. Section 1007 talks about, you know, developing an analysis of the illicit federal drug trade and not really a plan to deal with it, but I guess this is in the defense budget, right? So we've been talking about a war with Mexico. Does this mean, I mean, if you really want to go after the fentanyl crisis, you have to go after Big Pharma. But it seems like the Defense Department is not going to do that. They're going to go and attack the middleman bad guys instead of the source. I guess we'll have to see. Now, a lot has been made of the hidden social policies in this bill. It doesn't really limit abortion. What it does is repeal the Defense the defense budget's allowance for travel reimbursement if someone travels out of state for an abortion. It is also set to ban transgender procedures such as cross-sex hormones and surgeries on military health plans. I did not find that as of my reading today. So if you would like to point me to it, that would be great, because I saw the military having a cow over it, but I didn't read it myself despite hours of going through it. You can read it yourself again by looking up Bill HR 2670. Let me know what you think of this. Let me know what you think of our interpretations. Again, this is a conversation that's just heating up because the Senate proposal has to come along next, and then the president. I'm betting we don't even land at this $886 billion per year. It's going to be more than that, and Clayton's done several segments about how a lot of the money outside of the defense budget goes into separate contracts, so we know that that's even just a low baseline, but let us know what you think of that in the chat.
I also want to point out, remember on September 10th when Rumsfeld announced that they just lost $2.1 trillion of transactions? Like, they're just magically not there. So, I mean, you think, like, they're getting that money. They're getting it from all kinds of places. But then they're not even, like, transparent on where it's going. So it's got to be way more than that. Like, way more.
So, well, it's all, and a lot of the black budget stuff, right? That's exactly what's hoping to come out. All the black budget stuff. Wait a minute, our budget is this, but we're spending $400 billion more than the budget. Where's that money going? Oh, I don't know. Check the black budget stuff that's being sent around the world. It's the off the book stuff, the stuff that we can't track and is not funneling through Congress that we didn't approve. Exactly what's happening with this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We just lose $2 trillion. That's what the United States does. Very good at losing money.
Yeah.
We just lost $40 billion in Iraq. We can't find it. We know we sent it there. We don't know. Same thing with Ukraine.
There was just recently something we covered about Ukraine too, right? Some money was missing. They're like, oh, it went there. Yeah. Like, we'll figure it out. But
we don't know. We don't know.
They're saying it was
money,
accounting
budgets. Can't track weapons.
Accounting errors. Yeah. When Senator Ron Paul has said repeatedly that we need an auditor and has been shot down.
Yeah. And Rand Paul.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Let us know your thoughts on that in the comments below. People are asking, where did I go on my vacation? Why am I? I seem inspired.
You have a lot of energy.
I have a lot of energy. Well, that's good, right? You don't want to be on the show and be like Sleepy Joe. We have enough of that, Sleepy Joe. What was it? Medium energy. Medium energy.
Medium energy is
that what?
Yeah,
Trump
medium
called
energy.
Yeah, medium energy. I went away and spent some time. Took the kids to camp, and then I kind of stayed nearby and just read about a lot of books, relaxed, and kind of traveled around, and it was really nice. So it's good. Everyone needs to recharge their batteries from time to time.
Why are you looking at me? I know where you went.
I'm talking because you're the only other person sitting here. So you want me to look over there?
You have a camera. You can look
hey, John.
Tell them.
John,
I know where you were.
Have you been on vacation recently?
Talk to David. He missed you. Can we do a dual screen of just David and Clayton?
You have a good break too.
Look, you two catch up.
No, we're talking to David.
How you doing?
Right, up here.
Hey, friend.
Hey, man. Missed you.
Missed you too. It's good to talk, you know, man to man, right?
I can sit out.
Because at least men will respond. Great to see all of you. Really appreciate you guys all saying great things and saying great things about my lovely wife, who held down the fort for 2 weeks and did an amazing job. She's very bookish, so she reads a lot and writes a lot and does a lot of research. So the amount of research that went into the past 2 weeks shows was a lot. So anyway, give it up for my lovely wife.
Thank you. So we did a Twitter sort of poll that said, like, give a funny description of what you do for a living, and on the redacted Twitter feed. And I said, I'm a professional book report giver. Like, that's basically what I do for a living, is I read books and bring it back to the show.
Yeah. Our son was like, oh, mommy, daddy, I have to write an essay for school. We're like, we write four of those a day.
Yeah.
You know, for this show. And he's like, I have to start all the research on it. Like, yep. Welcome to our world.
I know, it's fun. That's what
I
have to...
Are you looking for sympathy?
Right, because you're not going to get it from us.
Or sometimes I'm like, can I do it for you?
Try this. You get to do four of them, and you got 3 hours. go. Yeah.
Right, right, exactly, exactly. Right. Some people were asking, what books did I read? I read a book on, you know, all these nutcases are talking about climate change right now and wanting to put, this is the World Economic Forum, wants to put these particulates in the air to darken the earth, to darken the sun. I was talking with Michael Yan about this, and he recommended a great book on this subject called The Year Without Summer, the year of 1816. So if you want to see what famine could ensue with these nut jobs at the World Economic Forum want to put particulates in the air and block out with aerosol the sun, just look at the summer of 1816, which was not only just 1815, 1816, 1817, mass starvation, famine around the world. It's an amazing book from the year 1816. I mean, snow in the middle of July. So that's what these World Economic Forum nut jobs. But it's important, I think, to contextually to understand the history of it and to understand it. So when people talk about this idea of like, we're going to put some stuff up in the atmosphere to block out the sun to cool the earth because of global warming, tell them to read that book. That was one of the books I read. Yeah.
All right. Very good. Well, right. We are glad to have you back.
Glad to be back.
Glad to have your energy in this room.
Yes. I'm high energy, Clayton.
All right.
Look, I look like I'm running at an incredible speed.
Let's see how long this lasts. I like it.
We do have a newsletter. Sign up for the free newsletter. Go to redacted.inc. You can get it in your inbox first thing in the morning. It's redacted.inc. Just put in your email address, and you'll receive a welcome email from me, which is clayton@redacted.inc. Then just make sure you move us over to your VIP. Don't keep us in your spam folder. And then tomorrow morning, you will receive the newsletter first thing in the morning. It's really, really good. And you can read it in about 5 or 10 minutes. Over your cup of coffee. Natalie does all the writing of it, and I do all of the adding of like a lot of funny stuff. Whenever you're laughing out loud, that's probably because I've added something to it. So check it out. Go to I'm just joking. She writes a lot of funny stuff in there too. Redacted.inc is the place to go to sign up for the newsletter.
I am a riot.
She is a real riot.
I am a ball of laughs.
Queen of comedy. All right, guys. Have a great night, everyone. Thank you guys for joining us, and we'll see you back here tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Bye, everyone.